League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?
Howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. Before we dive in, a quick shout out to Fiji Water once again for sponsoring this episode. It couldn't have come at a better time. Summer is here, and Fiji is always our go-to water when we gotta hydrate.
Here's why Fiji stands out above the rest. The first thing to know is that it really is from the islands of Fiji. That's not just a catchy name. Fiji water is collected drop by drop in a sustainable, ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent. It is naturally protected and preserved from external elements, which makes it taste better than any other water that I've tried.
And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it picks up a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals. In fact, Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands for a soft, smooth taste.
Unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, which we love.
So make sure you get stocked up on Fiji water this summer. It should be your first choice for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water. It's Fiji water. It's been a couple weeks.
Like 2.5 weeks. It's the longest since I've sat in front of a camera. It feels much longer.
We missed you on Good Influences.
I know. I'm glad we were able to find someone. Emmy did great. I've never met her before, but...
Oh, yeah, dude. She's a star, man. Have you listened to her music?
No, but I saw you were giving her some props at the beginning, so I got to put her on a playlist.
Oh, yeah. She can sing.
Yeah.
First time I met her was outside of Lollapalooza when she was just kind of blowing up on TikTok.
Okay.
And big fan. And you are finally back in town.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was abroad, overseas, fleeing from crimes in America. And then I got extradited back to the U.S.
Where did you go?
I went to Greece last minute. A couple friends said that they were going, and I got a little bit of a tax refund. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Greece. And I went to Athens. I went to the island of Paros and the island of Naxos.
Did you go to Mykonos at all?
No.
Okay.
Mykonos is apparently very overrated, very expensive.
Is it like Miami kind of?
It's a lot of like the people that it's. I want to go on vacation and not see a bunch of like Americans trying to do Instagram stories abroad.
Yeah. And then also Santorini is the other city. Is that the one that has a lot of the white,
yes,
you know?
Also very overpopulated.
And I heard it's one of the most underwhelming places that you see online. And right when you get there, you're like, oh, this is not what the Instagram pics look like.
Well, it's also just filled with tourists.
Yeah.
Because it's very cheap to go there, and it's very picturesque, and it's on a lot of lists, a lot of TikToks. So we tried to find island. I used ChatGPT, and I was like, a couple friends. We're not trying to party too much. We want to get good food, some good beaches, some exploring. Gave us some recommendations. We looked into it, and then we were just like, wherever's the best Airbnbs, that's where we'll go.
They gave you location recommendations, but not...
Island recommendations.
Oh, island recommendations.
There's like 100 islands or something in Greece.
ChatGPT is great for...
vacation
planning.
If
you give them the context of how old you are, who you're going with, and what kind of tempo and flow you want to have to your trip, it's fantastic with those types of recommendations. Just wanted to give another quick thanks to Fiji Water for sponsoring this episode. Thank you so much, Fiji.
Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, bud.
Cheers. You've been to Greece?
No, I haven't.
And Patricia hasn't either.
No, and that's her motherland. You know, she is...
I think her sister or sister-in-law went a bunch of times and had like this big Google Doc.
Oh, yeah, Olivia.
Yes.
Yes.
So she... I read through it and it was like, this is a full-blown research paper. It was like 32 pages long with citations and references. And it was really helpful. A lot of it was new information, which I like maybe could have predicted, but it was just good to know. And I just feel bad that like you guys haven't gotten to go because you had the Greek Orthodox wedding. I know Patricia's family is very Greek. And I understand the pride of Greece, like why people would be proud to go there. I would highly encourage a visit if you're looking for a place to go with your lovely wife.
I definitely think we will be planning on going there soon. I think we're like waiting to do it more as like a family thing because her mom has not truly gone and experienced it. And so I think we want to go with them. And also I heard, I think through like Patricia's family, since her uncle is a priest, that if we go, we can kind of get like a hookup with like a travel guide through like the church as well to guide
us. Athens is where you'd want to go for like the historical stuff, although there is historical stuff basically everywhere. But I did also bring you back a piece of Greece.
You did not,
yes.
Mike.
It's just a little souvenir. It's a little magnet that is made from and hand-painted by someone in Greece. It's a little marble ceramic thing.
Fridge. It's like a fridge magnet.
Yeah, it's a little fridge magnet. So I feel like, you know, it's a good little reminder as every time you go to the fridge, remember your good friend Mike brought you a little gift back.
I love this. Thank you.
I think it says Paros in Greece. And I know Patricia has never been, so I wanted her to have a little bit of a memento.
This is adorable.
Yeah, I like that it also says handmade and painted in Greece because I feel like when you go to a lot of these travel destinations, you go to the gift shops and it's, you're just buying stuff that's made in China.
Bangladesh.
Yeah,
yes.
It just says the name of the place on it. So I'll put that back in the...
I love it.
But I would highly recommend you go. This is the only souvenir I bought. And I like... I just break it.
It's just in pieces.
Yeah, it was great. I beat the jet lag. I did another ChatGPT. I was like, here's my flight plan. Here's what time it is in LA. Here's what time my flight is. When should I go to bed? When should I wake up? So I had the Klonopin, the magnesium, the melatonin, and I synced it all up. I went to sleep, woke up.
Were you in economy?
Yeah.
How long was the flight?
It was 11 hours-ish to Amsterdam, and then another...
That's not bad if you knock out a good portion of it by sleeping.
But the flight was at 3:30, so I basically had to, like... I woke up super early. I woke up at 5 a.m. in L.A., and then I got on the flight, and I tried to, like, put all my chemicals in my system to fall asleep by 5. Fell asleep for, like, 5-6 hours, woke up, and then I was in Amsterdam... Hung out on the Amsterdam airport, got some stroopwafels. You know what those are?
Stroopwafels. They are those really thin-looking waffly things that are a little like caramel and chocolatey.
Yes, caramel layer on the inside, thin waffle on top, thin waffle on bottom. And the trick is you take the stroopwafel, you put it on top of your cup of coffee so the heat from the coffee softens it up.
Oh!
And then the caramel is all chewy and then you take it off and you take a bite and you eat it while you're having your coffee and it is amazing.
Because it's kind of like perfectly shaped like a circle.
Yes,
and
it's like
it
a circular
waffle.
Right
in. Oh, I've never heard about that little coffee
Yeah,
hack.
So they had a stroopwafel, which was like a wall of stroopwafels at the airport. And then they had a deal. It was like 3 for €11. 3 packages of like 10 stroopwafels for €11.
I guess that's a deal.
I thought it was.
What's the currency in Greece? It's a euro.
The euro, yeah.
Yeah, it's a euro.
Yeah, which is a little more expensive than the dollar, which kind of pissed me off.
Right.
Because I was going around saying America is the greatest country in the world, and how dare we, how dare our dollar not go as far as the euro. But I had a great time. I really thought about you a lot because I was like, damn, I really, like, for Patricia, I feel like this would have been a really nice trip, but I would
it's
highly
okay.
recommend going.
Now that you've gone, we can get some recommendations.
Yes.
I'm sure it will all really work out.
Food was great. Greek salads, no complaints.
No complaints.
And now I'm back.
Greek food, it's not terrible. I don't mind Greek food, but there's some stuff I really don't like.
What do you not like?
Like, is it called, I think it's called manicotti. It's like
a
their
cheese?
Version of like a baked ziti lasagna thing, but they have like a t- touch of cinnamon in it.
Oh, I think masuka or something.
Maybe. I may be totally wrong on what a manicotti is, but Patricia's parents kind of whipped that up. And I, for like the first 2 years of us being together,
I choked it down.
And then after I was like fully comfortable with them, I kind of said, I actually really do not like this. You guys can still cook it, but I will not be having it.
Sure.
And I love you guys endlessly. This is just not for me.
That's fair. The food was pretty good. It's all very fresh. That's one of the big things I think about traveling that I realized compared to living in America is I didn't eat one thing out of a package the entire trip.
Oh, that's good.
And also it is you're going out to eat, but you stop on the side of the road, you pick up some fruits, you have a little bread, dipping sauce, Greek salad. It was a great trip. Did make me feel like also I would love to go on another trip with you. I feel like we haven't done that in a while.
Would love to.
You did just go to Wisconsin.
I did. My first time going to the great state of Wisconsin. Because, you know, I'm trying to do all 50 states. And when you have a really good excuse and no other excuses to not go to Wisconsin, go to Wisconsin. And our buddy James, Caucasian James, funny comedian, internet personality, he got invited to throw the first pitch at the Milwaukee Brewers game. And I had to go. Wisconsin is awesome. Loved it. Exceeded my expectations.
How so?
The nicest people I have ever met from a state. I already know people from Minnesota are really good people. I've never been to Minnesota, but every person I've met from the great state of Minnesota is a very good person. I don't know if it's something in the water out there in that portion of the Midwest. Kindest people ever.
Tim Walls, Connor Franta, Alex Ernst.
Yes, and I know a lot of people from doing competitive speech and debate.
From Minnesota.
Minnesota would always come in and sweep national tournaments. And
what's the big city? Madison, Wisconsin?
Madison and Milwaukee.
Oh, those are
and
the
then
two.
Green Bay, but I don't think Green Bay is a big city. I think it's more of a glorified town where they have
where were
the
you
Green
for this
Bay
game?
Packers. The game was in Milwaukee, but we stayed in Madison. Madison is about an hour away from Milwaukee.
Okay.
Madison is on an isthmus.
Gesundheit.
Do you know what an isthmus is?
You've been practicing that one?
Isthmus.
I've
never
know if
said
I could
it.
Say that
I never said
lip.
It out loud, but you know when you're studying all the different types of geographical features.
Yeah.
You know, you learn archipelago, you know what a peninsula is.
I don't know if I'm going to say that with my lisp, so I'll just let you.
An isthmus? I think.
I'll let you handle the pronunciation.
An isthmus is a narrow, straight body of land in between two bodies of water.
Okay.
As a body of land, I don't even know if that makes sense. But yeah.
Sure.
So it's a tiny little jut of land with two big things of water.
We'll
Madison
put
is perfectly
up.
In it. There's a gorgeous little capital. Looks like the nation's capital. None of the buildings are taller than the capital. You can...
Oh, that's...
The college campus in Wisconsin is right on one of the lakes. I don't know if it's Monona or Minota, Metota. I don't... I was learning. You can get a beer as a student in the student union, go out and be right on the water. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It was just the American dream out
so
there.
So where did you fly into? You flew into Madison?
Flew into Madison.
And then?
We had a party bus that took us to Milwaukee for the game.
That's
so
fun.
All of James's like hometown friends, his cousins, everybody, we all went out to go root for him. I got to see some high school friends as well who lived out in Milwaukee. It was beautiful. I didn't pay attention to the game once.
Did you at least see him throw the first pitch?
Yes, of course. We got to tailgate. Loved it. Had some cheese curds.
I saw... It seemed like the pitch went well. Like he threw it. It didn't go haywire.
No,
the audience cheered very loud. It sounded like.
And buddy, I was nervous the entire time leading up to it.
Was he nervous?
No, he didn't care. I was like, do we need to do some practice pitches? Let's measure out 60 feet and 6 inches, which is the distance from, you know, the mound
to the pitcher.
Mound to the pitcher or mound to the catcher.
Yes.
And no, we didn't practice once. Actually, I feel like he did do a couple tosses during the tailgate. But I didn't witness that.
And then so he throws the first pitch and then he comes back and sits with you guys and then you watch the game?
Yeah, we watched the game. It was perfect. And we had some cheese curds. Have you ever had cheese curds?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know what cheese curds are?
No, but this was an interesting conversation on the trip.
Yeah?
So many things come from milk and I don't know how they do it. There's cheese, there's butter, and there's cream.
Yes.
All from milk. Well,
dairy.
How are we getting all these different things from milk?
A lot of things come from wheat.
Yeah, but like milk is like butter, cheese.
Yes.
And what's the other one? Yogurt?
yogurt. We can go down through all the dairy products.
I'm just saying.
It's Go-Gurt, such a, sour cream.
It's such a versatile like liquid that can turn into so many things. So cheese curds is not even a thing. I know what that is.
I think we need to get rid of all the mozzarella sticks. I'm sick of cheese sticks. That's
where,
what
the
I'm
ones
saying.
Where you peel?
I do love a cheese
stick. Like string cheese.
String cheese. Keep the string cheese. But our go-to bar food.
Mozzarella sticks. Deep fried.
Get rid of
string
it.
String cheese.
Bring cheese curds.
Oh.
Because I think cheese curds are a much more shareable, digestible, more inviting thing to nibble on than committing to a whole cheese stick. Because
that's a lot of
mozzarella
calories.
Stick. That's a lot of calories. And when you pick up one, you have to finish that yourself. You're not splitting a cheese stick. Cheese curds are basically little fried curds of cheese.
Like balls?
Yeah, little balls, but they're all kind of like misshapen. It's almost like a funnel cake.
Are you using a spoon, a knife, a fork?
No, you're just picking them off.
With
your fingies, and usually you're dipping it in a little fun sauce.
Okay.
You can get like a little Wisconsin cheese sauce too.
You're dipping cheese in cheese?
You can do that, or I don't know. We ate at this one bar at near Wisconsin called the Nitty Gritty, and they had this gritty sauce. Kick ass, man. Kick ass, had the cheese curds up in the sauce, loving it. And they had some good beers too. I had
fried pickles.
I didn't have any fried pickles.
Do you like
in Wisconsin.
Fried pickles?
I like a fried pickle, but I like it on a wedge.
So the Let's long.
I don't fried pickle chips or like what are they? Actually, what do you call them?
Yeah,
basically pickled.
The little circles, circular ones.
I can fuck with that. That's a little bit more shareable. But there's Pluckers. If you go to Pluckers down in Austin, great little wing spot. They do fried pickles on the wedge. And I prefer the wedge more than the chip.
I feel you on that. I don't know if I've ever had the wedge, but I think that could be a good.
Pickles are fantastic, though.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't like bread and butter pickles.
No. I want a little bit of spice.
Sweet pickles?
Yeah. No.
Spicy pickles? Absolutely.
A little bit of sour, half sour.
Ooh, a sour pickle.
Half sour, half spicy.
I need to dip my toes in some sour pickles.
We should go to a pickle festival. You ever been to one?
No, and I know they exist. I know Pittsburgh has a really big pickle fest.
Pittsburgh Pickle Fest?
And I'm planning on going. I'm going to New York this weekend, and there is a pickle store / bookstore in the Lower East Side. I believe it's called Sweet Pickles.
Okay.
And you can check a book. Or buy a book and get some pickles. You can also bring 4 used books in good condition and get a free jar of pickles.
Oh, you got a jar?
Get a whole jar, Mike.
There's a great place you can go also called the Pickle Guys in the Lower East Side. And it looks like it's out of the 1800s. It's just a bunch of barrels of basically homemade different varieties of pickles. And you can try them. You can mix and match. They got spicy, sour, the big ones, the small
whole
ones.
Whole pickle?
Oh, yeah.
Or like the slices? But
you can get them sliced and you can get them whole. It's a great... I went on a date there once. It was really fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you like pickle juice? Can you drink pickle juice straight up?
I could drink pickle juice, olive juice.
Oh, yeah.
I love it all.
Catch me at 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah. It's
in the
good
dark,
for
a little midnight snack. You know, someone that, you know, you get some cheese in your hand. You like that. Just take a sip of pickle juice.
If the morning after drinking, you do a little bit of pickle juice, it's such a good hangover
cure.
It's like
filled with like electrolytes.
Yeah. A little bit of salt, a little bit of...
Because people are always saying like, oh yeah, you know, get the sunlight in your eyes. Have a little bit of Himalayan salt and some lemon juice in your water. I'm all for the sunlight in my eyes, but you know what? Give me some pickle juice.
Down a little bit of pickle juice.
I could do that. Liquid IV needs to make a pickle juice flavored packet, and I'd be right there for it.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. How much do you think you're paying for subscriptions every month? The answer is probably more than you think. Over 74% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about. I definitely did. Like, I was paying for a couple of streaming services twice, which is just insane because usually you should only have one streaming service per person. Yeah. So that was a little frustrating, but Rocket Money showed me that I'm paying for 2 different streaming services. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones that I forgot.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions in a a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. I also love their dashboard and how it shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
I literally just used this recently. There was a subscription that I was having trouble canceling. I did it with Rocket Money. I pressed cancel, and they took care of it for me. Truly love Rocket Money. Guys, me and Matt have been using it for years. If you're looking for something to help manage your finances and help you cancel subscriptions that you've forgotten about, definitely use Rocket Money.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/hoot. That is rocketmoney.com/hoot, rocketmoney.com/hoot.
And now back to the episode. What was the last time you had any brown liquid?
Coffee. I had coffee for like the first time in a long time in Wisconsin.
Oh, you had coffee in Wisconsin?
Yeah, in brown liquid, does a Coca-Cola count?
I was more thinking like whiskey.
Oh, no.
Like alcoholic brown liquid.
No. I did take a sip of an old fashioned in Wisconsin, because old fashions are like part of their tradition as well.
Why did you have a coffee? That's out of your element.
Because there weren't Celsius at James's house and they were just brewing up coffee.
And?
Honestly, kind of nice.
Could you put it down, or do you have that like, I never had coffee. It tastes disgusting to me. I can't.
It definitely gave me the caffeine pep, definitely got my intestines moving. And I don't know, but I realized I also just miss having something kind of sweet in the beginning of the day as like I like energy drinks.
You're drinking an energy drink every morning?
Maybe. Are you? Not every morning.
What, like a Celsius, Al-Anon?
Should I not?
No.
I should be having coffee. Okay, but coffee can't be good for your heart.
It's better for your, yeah, because coffee is just caffeine. All these other ones have like taurine and guarine.
And vitamins, good things.
Yeah, but I'm not going to debate the merits.
I have been taking like some new vitamins though. You know, you got to have your vitamin D, but with K2.
Okay.
I don't know what K2 is, but apparently it's really good for me.
I think it's just like a way to help bind the.
Yes.
You want to hear a fun fact?
Let's hear it, Mike.
I got a blood test done.
You did recently?
Wait, yeah. I've had a few. I try to get one every year, but then I got one and they only did like half of the stuff they were supposed to. So I had to go to another one.
Okay.
And I got basically everything is normal. Thank God. All within range, except for one thing that is literally off the charts high. And it is my testosterone level.
You told me this.
Oh, I don't know.
2 years ago.
And it's, no, that was when I got it last year. It was like on the higher end. Now it's literally off the charts.
What do you think's causing that?
I think it's a hormonal imbalance. I don't think it's supposed to be that high considering who I am and what I do. But I feel like I need to figure this out because I'm not the guy that should have literal off the charts level of testosterone.
So does it need to be lowered?
I think so. I don't think it should be this high. Like, I
maybe
feel like
you need to pick up like a feminine hobby.
I was
like,
thinking
about
get maybe
into knitting.
Or just like, maybe I need to take like birth control just to like.
What would happen if a man takes birth control? What would happen if a man took Midol? Does nothing really happen?
Well, Midol, I think, is just for like cramps. I think it's just a painkiller.
True.
Maybe. Birth control, I think, is like actual female hormones.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm actually going to try it, but.
Try some estrogen?
Yeah, just like balance it out because I shouldn't have this much testosterone. My voice still cracks sometimes. Like it was just a little shocking. And the doctor was like, yeah, we don't know. And they offered to do more tests, but I don't know. It was an interesting phenomenon.
Fascinating.
All these guys like Joe Rogan and like all these, you know, big beefy guys who are trying to get high tea.
They still take tea.
Yeah, they're like taking it.
I feel like
they
I knew that I was losing testosterone by the age of 40, I think I would take testosterone because I could think your body stops making it as strong as it did in your youth.
I'm up year over year. So
I've been taking
minoxidil,
and I just started taking finasteride, and that was the one that I kept putting off. I've been kind of thinning on the top of my hair, crowning. It's not terrible, but minoxidil is really good about keeping the growth where it's at, and finasteride is like a hormone that does some hormone kind of therapy or whatever, because it is related to testosterone. You start losing your hair based on testosterone. And they also know this because there were two identical twins this is like from like a long time ago. Okay. One of the twins was castrated, didn't have testicles, had a full head of hair.
Okay.
The one who did have its testicles lost its hair. So they know it's related to testosterone. Does this make sense? You're following it?
Yeah.
So finasteride, though, is like a bit of like a hormone thing. I don't know if it like it does mess with your testosterone. It can also lead to like ED, all of that stuff. I've been fine. I've been so worried. And I've also been worried about depression as well.
Oh, yeah.
And that hasn't happened. Granted, I've now been taking it for 45 days.
Okay.
And it's, Patricia says it's looking great.
Your hair?
Yeah. But I was so worried about making that leap to give it a shot.
Do you have to get it prescribed or you could
just... Yeah, it's prescribed. It's so tiny. It's like this big.
That's nice.
And just take it every day. So grateful, but it's been like a bit of an interesting journey making that leap into a new form of medication because you don't want to deal with all the side effects, the consequences, you know?
Yeah.
New iPhone's coming out.
Can we jump back to brown liquid?
Let's go back to brown liquid. Why
I just haven't, something? I did my like, you know, four or five months of no drinking, and that really like kind of stopped everything. I don't think I've had whiskey in, I don't know, two, three years, like beyond maybe once or twice. But when we went out in Greece, they were like, Sheffer, I think it's time you got back on the brown liquid train. And we were measuring it in inches. And there was just one night where I had started out with 3 inches of brown liquid. And then the 3 inches led to another three
Explain
inches.
Explain the inches? What are you talking
like
about?
Like when you get a glass of whiskey,
okay,
you measure it in inches. How high is it on the cup? And I just drank so much
whiskey. It's 3 inches one shot?
No, it's like 2.5.
Okay.
3. I just drank a lot of whiskey on this trip. And it's like,
did,
I forgot.
Did how, you enjoy it?
I had fun that night. But God, the hangover you get from drinking like hardcore grain whiskey is something I would not wish upon my worst enemy.
No, it's not worth it. It's not really worth it. Just stick to light beer.
That's what I came here to say, Matt. I am a light beer.
Do you think certain liquors that you take affect your personality differently?
I think that is an actual like fact because they come from different plants, so they have to have different, slightly different effects.
Like if you give me a glass of wine, we're gossiping. We are gossiping. My lips get loose and I will tell you everything that I've heard, everything that I know.
Doesn't matter if it's red or white or you're just.
And then I'm like, I'm rooting for everybody on wine. Like if you're going through something, I'm like, we're going to get through this together.
Do you think it's because of the glass that you're holding and it changes your body posture? Or do you think the alcohol itself is
the alcohol itself. Tequila, also, everything's like a party. I'm clapping my hands. I'm like, I love this song. Turn it up. Maybe my clothes are getting a little loose.
Okay.
Vodka? I'm texting people. I start inviting people.
When you're on tequila.
Oh, tequila. I'm like, well, where's this going? And okay, why we got to get more people up in this room?
It's like the cocaine of drinking.
It is. Because they do say like tequila is like a little bit more of a stimulant than it is a...
Because that's from agave, which is a different plant than wine, which is from grapes.
Vodka, I might start punching some walls. I might start snapping at people for no reason.
Letting your masculinity get real toxic.
Oh, and rarely do I do the vodka that much. But,
vodka's that one we could put back on the shelf. You ever had Sambuca?
Sambuca?
Yeah.
Is this the one that's like, this is the second time someone has said, have you heard Sambuca?
It smells like nail polish remover.
But it's not coffee and alcohol?
It is from the plant A-N-I-S. Anise.
Cat Williams had like a whole bit where it's like, have you had a Zambuki?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, never mind.
Okay. Sambuca is a crazy one.
Okay.
I think that might be the best one. It's clear, which is supposed to be better for you than not clear. That's apparently what gives you the hangover is the color of the alcohol. The darker the color, the worse the hangover. So like red wine gives you the worst hangover because it's the darkest. Whiskey versus like tequila or vodka, those clear alcohols are better. Beers in between. But yeah, Sambuca, you got to try it. I would love to try it with you.
Can you just get it at any liquor store?
Yeah, it's made from like figs, I think.
Oh, is this like grappa?
Maybe. It's a Middle Eastern.
Grappa?
No.
Yeah, it's more of like a Ukrainian kind of like.
What's the rice wine in sushi restaurants?
Sake.
Yeah.
So, okay, now sake, I think arguably is one of the best.
Yeah.
That like feels like I'm coming down off shrooms in a good way.
Where I warm it up too.
Yes.
Hot alcohol.
Warm or cold. Give me that, give me some sake, give me some shoju.
Ozu, is that another one?
I think so.
They were having that in Greece, but I wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Put me up in front of a hibachi. Get the sake rolling. Happy zone. Happy place. Yeah. The new iPhone?
I Dude, it's honestly a little cringe how they have to do these every year now. I feel like they really are scraping the bottom of the barrel with...
We do get a new iPhone every year. Yeah, that is
true.
Yeah, but
just the gaslighting of like, this is the best iPhone we've ever... There's no difference. If you have an iPhone from like 4 years ago, what are you missing? A little extra button on the side for a camera?
The Apple Intelligence looks kind of nice. And I know that Google's been doing it. Google's had it. It's basically Google Lens. I do like that I can finally ask my phone, pull up the picture of Patricia in a red dress when we were in Montana, and the picture will come up.
You can just type that in, though.
Red dress. And then I have to scroll through all the red dresses, Montana. Like, yes, I know, but make it easier. Make it easier
for me. And
that's
not the Apple Intelligence is only on the new phones, or they're going to put it on the
old
ones?
I don't know if it's an iOS update or it's only a new phone update. It seemed like it was a very new phone update, because wouldn't they just save that for like the WWDC or...
Oh, look at you. Were you applying for TheVerge.com?
Speaking of applying for things, I didn't do it. Do you think I would have gotten in? To give you guys context.
Yeah.
NASA was inviting 50 creators... I think across the U.S., maybe it was opened up internationally, to come down and watch a rocket launch at the Kennedy Center, which is down in Florida.
Yep.
I think they were launching like a new satellite.
Yeah. You didn't apply?
No, because it was such on crunch time.
I mean.
And I couldn't go because I have a wedding.
I will say, Sam, my brother, did that like 2 months ago, and he got accepted. And he went to Cape Canaveral and he watched a rocket
launch. Months ago?
Yeah, like 2 months ago.
Oh, so they do this pretty often?
Somewhat often. The creator thing, I think, might be a little bit new, but he applied, and just similar to you, like, was like, there's no way I'm ever going to get this. But
it was a little vague, though, because they were saying, like, if you have to be down there for our launch period, which starts on Thursday. So you don't know going down to watch the launch if it's going to happen on a Thursday, because also weather conditions. You don't know if you're going to get down there and there's a huge storm. They go, it's not going to happen.
They could scrub the launch completely. They could move it a day, afternoon.
Yeah.
But...
Have you ever seen a rocket launch?
No, it is I would like to see one. I have seen satellites in the sky, like passing overhead.
Okay.
But I would love to go see a rocket launch. Apparently they're fucking loud too. You have to be like 3 miles away just because of the volume.
And you still like feel it?
Yeah.
Wow. It's I just want to be sick. I just want to be in a control room.
I don't know.
I want to be clapping with the guys, looking back up in the room.
I kind of am excited to see about these two that are stranded in space right now because of the Boeing.
Yes, the two astronauts who were supposed to go up for what was it, just 8 to 9 days, and now they are being told they're going to be up there for 9 months
till like January, I think, 2025.
They seem to be so happy. Like, astronauts are like, they seem like they're like Chick-fil-A employees. They're just like so happy and well-rounded because they have had to have passed so many personality tests, being able to handle things and pressure. But I just want to see one astronaut lose it. It's surprising all of the hundreds, maybe thousands of astronauts we have put through space. Not one astronaut has kind of like lost it.
Buzz Aldrin punched a guy in the face one time.
In the station?
No. It was like in public when he got back.
Oh.
Some guy was like trying to taunt him. He was like trying to make a documentary saying, you never landed on the moon. It's a hoax. And
he was screaming
out his face, and Buzz Aldrin just gives him the one,
socked
two.
Socked him.
But you're saying out in outer space, they had like a meltdown?
No one's gone like, what's it called?
Going postal?
Yeah. Like, you know, like Steve Buscemi's character in like Armageddon loses
it. Cabin fever?
Cabin fever. I guess that's what you would call it.
No, but I think they really...
There's space madness.
First of all, they probably send them up there with a couple of Xanax and a glass of red wine to calm them down. But it is probably very difficult to become an astronaut. I think the amount of tests you have to go through in terms of like personality and temperament and ability to work with other people, I would be freaking the fuck out if I was up there and they were like, sorry, yeah, you're... ship is just kind of, we don't really trust the Boeing ship to take you back.
Yeah.
We're going to keep you up there for another 8 months. I would be losing it.
Yo, gosh, I know. Your bones
are just chilling.
There's other people who've been up there for like now 2 years.
But I think the psychology of like preparing for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would be freaking out.
Have you ever been friends with an astronaut?
No. Do you know an astronaut?
No. I knew some kids in college whose parents were astronauts.
I wanted to go to space camp. That was the dream when I was a kid. I would get the magazines.
Oh, yeah. Space camp.
The magazine brochures looked so sick.
Oh, yeah. If there was ever like a game show on Nickelodeon as a kid, like Double Dare, Guts, all of those, where they're like, tell them what they've won. You've won this. You won the bike. You won the Nintendo 64 and a trip to space camp. Hell yeah. You are going to space camp?
And then they show the sizzle reel where the kids are in like the machines and they're getting spun around.
Whoa!
And they're... Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the movie Space Camp about like the kids who are at space camp? They go into a real life rocket and they think they're doing like a rocket simulation. mission, but they accidentally click like full on let's go and they shoot the kids into space. And a bunch of kids are in space and they have to try to get them to come back to Earth. Crazy little movie.
Is that like a Disney Channel original or that's a...
I think it was like a straight-to-video movie. It's like 1989 probably.
Are you picking up any new hobbies as the seasons are changing?
No, I've just been reading aggressively.
Oh, for book club or just generally?
After book club, once a book's done, I'm picking up another. So what did we just finish reading? We just finished reading Tomorrow, Tomorrow, and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. Incredible book. It felt like The Social Network, but with like genuine human characters, people who have actual heart, and they're making like video games. It's like a bunch of like Harvard kids, and it's over the course of like they're going from kids to their early 20s.
Did you see them make it into a movie? Like a Richard, yes. Richard Linklater movie?
They are.
Oh, they are?
They are making it into a movie. Someone I think just got the rights to, so it's going to happen in a while. Love that. And then right after I finished that, I read Burnham Wood, which is this kind of environmental activist thriller about these like guerrilla gardeners who go out to forgotten spots of land like and grow crops to like help poor people and make more sustainable like farming and stuff. And they get this like help from this like nefarious billionaire who allows them to like grow on his property, and shit goes down. Down, dude. I was biting my fingers all the way through. And then I read Salem's Lot by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's getting time for spooky season.
Oh, my gosh. I read it, but like a long time ago. But this was like my first like full official like dive into Stephen King. And I love it. And I just started last night. Do you know the book, The Power Broker?
Yes.
By Robert Caro, about the rise of Robert Moses and the fall of New York.
I just started listening to a 4-part series podcast by 99% Invisible with Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
Did you listen to that?
So I bought The Power Broker because there was a documentary that came out about Robert Caro.
Okay.
Is that I'm saying it right? The Power Broker.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because there was a documentary I watched on a plane about this guy. And this won the Pulitzer Prize back in this, I think it was the 70s or 80s. Yeah. It's a 1,000-page book.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the documentary, Conan is in it, Ethan Hawke, all of these huge celebrities and like politicians, and they're reading excerpts from it. And I'm like, this seems so well written. I bought it in Birmingham and I've had it sitting there on my nightstand. And finally, last night, I go, I'm going to just read The Power Broker. I read, because I'm about to go to New York. And I knew Conan was a big fan, and I'm Googling it while I'm reading it, and I realize that there's this podcast.
Did you listen to the episode?
No, not yet.
I listened to the episode. I haven't read the book. Apparently, this guy spent like 30 fucking years writing this book. Like apparently the book is also extremely well written, where every end of the chapter, you're just like, oh my God, I need to continue.
And it's very digestible.
Chapter.
Like it's written in such a way where like it doesn't get too complicated. I wish I was like a true resident of New York to where I understood every nook and cranny of the city that they're talking about.
He's a guy
about.
Who used his power to like change the parks departments and the building construction.
He moved more land and accomplished more territories and built more things than like the Prince of Egypt ever did, or like Alexander the Great. Like it's like God level of what he contributed.
How many chapters in are you?
Dude, I'm still on the introduction.
Oh.
And I already feel like I've read the whole book. I'm like, well, where's the rest of this book gonna go? Because I feel like it's just this huge illustration of everything he's accomplished.
And do you like Robert Caro's writing style?
Oh, that's what's keeping me hooked is Robert Caro. And I love that Conan O'Brien has this huge obsession with him, because there was this whole thing where he would kept asking for years and years and years and years to come on the show, and Robert Caro was just like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, he just sits in like his New York office with a typewriter for 12 hours a day and just doesn't talk to anybody. And yeah, he's a very tough guy to get.
Yeah.
Did Conan interview him?
Eventually, yeah, he did, because when I watched the documentary on the plane, the Conan did get to finally interview him. So I think it does happen. But I think I'm going to hold off on listening to it until I read. So I get to page 94, because the first episode of that podcast is, it's a book club, basically.
Yes.
So when you listen to the first episode, it's page 1 to 94.
I will say, the first episode that I listened to doesn't even talk about the book at all. Like, the first episode is just Robert Caro.
Oh!
The history of the book, why it was written. And it doesn't really even go into what is in the book. It's just like, here's the context, here's this guy, here's why it's insane, here's kind of what it's about. and it's just really interesting to listen to.
Oh, I'm listening to that right after
this. Why are you going to New York?
For Patricia's friend Drew's birthday.
Where is it at?
In the Brooklyn.
Okay.
Brooklyn, I guess. But we're staying in the Lower East Side.
Where are you staying?
I don't want to say my hotel.
Oh, you're okay. I don't know if you're staying with friends, family.
Staying at a hotel for the first thing and then staying at Drew's place for like the remaining days. And then got a wedding out in Anniston, Alabama.
Oof.
I know.
So you're packing for a wedding and a New York trip?
I think I can do enough in a carry-on. I'm so optimistic I can do everything in a carry-on. And the last minute, Patricia's like, no.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I am with you on the carry-on, except for this trip to Greece. I think I'm done with carry-ons.
Oh, you really think you should have fully packed it?
By the end of the trip, I just had to have like three different bags because I wanted to keep like my dirty clothes separate and like the things that I bought and like just moving from Airbnb to Airbnb and traveling and getting in the like... It's nice, the idea that you don't have to wait for the carousel, but the three people I traveled with all just had massive full-size suitcases. Open it up. It's like sectioned out cleanly.
Yep.
Every time I have to sit on my suitcase and just like pull the zipper within an inch of his life to get it closed. And then when you open it back up, it's just a mess.
Patricia always wants me to pack another, like a true check-in bag because she wants to rely on me in case she goes overweight.
Yes.
Continues to happen.
You can see it live on TikTok.com/Matt.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And it still just it happened again.
Are you serious?
And it happened again.
Why don't you buy her a weight? A weight
I need to do that. I keep forgetting to Amazon it. But I get so mad at the airport.
You should buy her this, whatever it's called, a luggage weight, because I think it's time. But yeah, I pride myself. I've been to weddings. I went to your wedding. I went to the wedding in London, wedding in Ireland, wedding in Italy, all with a carry-on, nothing else. And then this trip in Greece where I was like, oh, this will be so easy. I don't even have to wear a suit, no shoes. I'm giving up the dream of carry-on only, and I think I'm going to...
Do you already have a suitcase, though?
I have, like, an older one from my parents that's, like, only has two wheels on it, and I think I need the one with four wheels.
Yeah.
Because the one that you just have to drag behind you kind of sucks.
Like, and you need, like, kind of a nice one.
I mean, I don't really care about the niceness of it. I think I need the four wheels.
Don't get a Ramoa, though.
The super expensive ones?
Yeah, the one that like is like steel case.
Soft shell or hard shell?
That's a great question. I'm hard shell, but lately I've been leaning towards soft shell.
I think soft shell is the better play because you can get a little bit more stretch out of it.
Yeah.
Once your hard shell is cooked, you're just cooked.
And but I even feel like the shelf life on like a soft shell goes a little longer.
I agree.
Hard shell ones, like they dent up. It starts getting de-stressed. There's too much tension.
And you can't, you just want a little bit of elasticity and you get that with the, So I think.
Have you ever accidentally taken the wrong suitcase?
Oh no, never. I'm a freak. I bought a bright orange suitcase. I wrote Mike Sheffer on it in big silver Sharpie. No.
Have you ever left the suit or have you ever, your suitcase didn't make it to the destination? Lost luggage. Never happened to me.
When we were in London, we took a train. And this is, again, another downside of the carry-on. I bring my coffee stuff with me. I have my grinder, the V60 machine, an extra mug, filters, a scale. And that stuff kind of sucks to like repack into my carry-on.
Why are you bringing that, Mike?
Because I like to enjoy my morning coffee with the highest quality possible.
Shouldn't you just get excited about the local brew?
No, because usually it's like if we're going to these places, A, I don't want to have to add it to the schedule of, hey, can we all go get a cup of coffee somewhere? Like it's a whole to-do. Usually if you're at a wedding, you're also not necessarily in a place where you can just walk to get a cup of Joe. Just let me live my life, okay?
All right.
So here's what happened. We're at the wedding. I'm staying with Brooke, Tristan, Megan, and I was making coffee in the mornings, and then I just took all my coffee stuff and I put it in like a plastic bag, separated because I didn't feel like reshoving it and doing the 4D Tetris to put it back in my carry-on. So I just had it in a little bag, and then we went on the train from London to the Cotswolds, and in my brain, I always just have a backpack and a carry-on.
Oh, right.
But now I have a third thing, and when I put the backpack, the carry-on, and the plastic bag.
I was on this train.
Oh, you're on the train with me.
Yeah, bud. Because I remember, if you're on a train, you need to be aware when you're getting off at the stop. And I trusted you guys. Patricia and I, we were in a whole different area. We had our, and then right when they said, you're about to get off at Chippenham.
The woman next to us was like, oh no, they won't leave without you. This is like a 10-minute stop. The woman next to us was just like, oh yeah, this is a big stop. You have plenty of time.
And when
So we didn't even start getting up until the train completely came to a stop. And we had maybe a minute before those doors closed.
And you left it.
Well, I was panicking and I just said, okay, I got my one thing. I got my other thing. And then Tristan saw it, but he shouted, hey, is this anybody's? And I was already off the train and he didn't want to take someone else's item and then like steal something from someone. And he said, oh, that was nobody's bag, right? And I was like, oh shit. And so I lost all my coffee stuff and I had to rebuy it. But that's why I'm in favor of the big, that was my big revelation from the trip.
Okay. Good.
Moving on. You had a topic it looks like you wanted to talk about?
No, I mean, we're hopping around through a bunch of stuff. Did you watch the debate last night?
Between Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah, it felt like it was the debate. It felt like I was watching like student body president like debate.
It was fine. It was about what I expected. I think the memes were the best part of
Did you see Ted Cruz's meme?
Which, what did he say?
He shared a meme that was like, it's like one of like those OG memes with like the big block text and stuff. And it was actually a little kind of racist.
Offensive? Oh, very, surprise, kind of offensive. Surprise.
It was like a bunch of cats and he's like, oh, don't let Haitian immigrants like eat
Dude,
us. Like, what are you sharing?
He brought it up in the debate. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
Oh, that's right. He did.
It's just like there's a thing on Twitter where, you know, Russia will put out whatever their talking point of the day is for all the right wing nut jobs, and they'll take that and run with it, and then that's the thing of the day, and Elon will boost all Twitter is just a fucking cesspool of just right wing brain rot. And so yeah, the day before the debate, some that was the new talking point, that apparently there are Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio or Illinois or something that are eating cats.
Or Colorado.
Literally, they just completely make shit up. Like zero evidence. There's nothing happening. It never happened. Zero evidence. It just went big on Twitter. And there's just been no like spike in crimes. There was a video of a woman who was like having some sort of mental crisis and like said that she like killed a cat. But it was nothing. It wasn't even in the same town. She was not a Haitian immigrant. It was just like some lady. And they just made this whole story up. And yeah, he brought it up during the debate. And then the moderator was like, there's literally no evidence of this. We spoke to the city officials. They said there's no evidence. And Trump just goes, but I saw it on TV. Like, Grandpa, we're going to get you to bed now. The triggering moment was when she was like, which I was just like from the top rope, baller, fucking elbow to the chest. She was like, I invite you to attend one of Donald Trump's rallies and you will see he starts talking about things like Hannibal Lecter and that windmills cause solar cancer and that people start to leave and fall asleep because of how boring and rambling and small these crowds are. He fucking got triggered. And from that moment on, he just couldn't get back to his baseline.
Are Walls and Vance going to have a debate? Does that normally happen?
It normally does, but like nothing is normal these days. So we'll see. But yeah, that will be a great one to watch.
I'd like
too.
To see it.
I do too. Just to see these guys get fucking dunked on. But Trump was pretty rough shape. Not a great look for...
But he said it was his best debate he's ever done.
Oh, he lied. What a surprise. But Taylor Swift endorsement.
Yes, huge. Clearly so calculated that she was waiting for like the end of the debate.
Also,
to
she
do
was
it.
Getting a little bit of flack like in the past 2 days because she was hugging Patrick Mahomes' wife.
Who cares? Actually, who cares about that? That is your boyfriend's coworker's wife. Who cares who she's voting for?
Well, I think it's less that she's voting for, and I don't know exactly what she's done, but apparently she is sort of a vocal supporter of the MAGA movement, which is...
Yes. What is wrong, though, about still being friendly with someone who has different political views? They, especially your boyfriend's co-worker's wife.
I think...
You can still be decent and hug them and say, hi, how are you doing?
Publicly...
At the work function.
Publicly...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Publicly, Taylor Swift could be a little bit more calculated, although I think she now has completely overrun that by doing the post with the cat. And the last lines signed a childless cat lady. Baller fucking move. Taylor Swift. Probably, I would argue, her endorsement probably moved more people than the debate did.
Like, I think so. I think last election,
she endorsed Biden.
Yes, but I think she also had like a record number of getting people to register for votes.
Yeah, I think it's
deeply influential.
Pretty sick. And her audience is extremely young. And a lot of people are probably first-time voters, so...
I think now, though, most of her audience are fully eligible voters,
and I would argue she's way more powerful and popular today than she was 4 years ago in 2020.
Completely.
Like, she is the person right now. So that's pretty fucking sick. Did you see what Elon said after, though?
No, what did he say?
Like, it's almost too gross to even, like, say. But basically, she wrote this whole post, signed it, childless cat lady, and he tweeted something like, oh, okay, well, if you want, I will give you a child and protect your cat. Basically, like, it's really creepy and fucking weird. And he's basically, like, saying, like, I will impregnate you because you're childless and like then go into the cat thing. Like, it, he is fucking, he needs to,
I thought you used to be very like jazzed about him.
I thought he was a pretty good dude because Tesla as a company, before he started going right wing maniac, like just incel cringelord, what he would speak about mostly was transitioning into sustainable energy and pushing electric cars to be something that are better than gas cars. Like, that, those were his two big philosophies, which, like, I still agree with. We should be moving towards sustainable energy, and the way to make electric cars the car is you have to make the electric car better than the best gas car. So, like, when Tesla first came out, it was legit better than, like, your best Audi or your best Porsche. Like, it is just a sick fucking car. Now, something happened. He also, like, used to tweet about how Tesla was... There was like a tweet from him in like 2016 or 2017 where he was like, we support LGBT and our employees do. And if you have a problem with that, you can buy from another company. And now he is just, some reversal happened. I don't know what it is, but like if some moment triggered in his brain that he's just gone brain rot, right wing, like MAGA, just lunacy. And it's just a shame because he made a cool company and now he's sort of ruining the entire reputation. And he's just a terrible businessman.
Do you think Cybertrucks are still cool?
Not really.
I know.
They're kind of sick, like,
yeah.
But now they're like the douche machine.
I was excited though for like the wave of a change in design for like cars.
It was a cool
idea.
And
I think we're seeing like what Hyundai is making, I believe, Kia, like these cool kind of new retro futuristic cars. I
want to
see a little bit. Yeah. Those kind of cars I'm kind of vibing with.
That one, unfortunately, was a concept car.
Oh, I thought it was approved.
They're not going to make that into production. They posted that like 3 years ago. It's making the rounds again right now, which is sick because I want to put the pressure on Hyundai. But yeah, like doing the retro 1980s, very cool throwback style, but making it electric. I think that's what people want. Cybertruck could have been a cool idea. But it just took them like 4 fucking years to make it. It's only being purchased and like driven by it. Ultra douchebags, and it's just like a piece of shit. Like it breaks, it doesn't work, it's all fucked up, like it's poorly built. And yeah, like Elon, just as a dude now, like he just represents this company, and it's just cringe to even like be seen with one. So it's a shame. Don't get fucking falling into the right wing brain rot and incel garbage. Sorry Charlie. Rivian, that's where we're at right now. Rivian, Hyundai, better companies.
I would like to drive a Rivian. I like the kind of smaller looking...
The R3X?
Crossover SUV looking one.
Yeah.
That I kind of vibe with. I like their colors too.
They're going to overtake Tesla, I think, is my prediction. But... Yeah. The politics stuff is... It's just insane.
Are you optimistic?
I think so. It really is going to come down to a couple of swing states, but... I just think young people have to register and have to fucking vote.
Have you donated any money to the campaign?
Nah.
No.
I don't know. I have my thoughts on that.
I get so many texts all the time.
I know. I mean, they're good,
so urgent.
They're good at raising. they're good at raising money. I gave money to Bernie Sanders in 2016 and 2020.
How much money did you give to Bernie?
Not that much. I think it's more, the donation for me is more of a statistic, like how many individual people donated. Is a better statistic, even if it's only 15, 20 bucks. But yeah, I don't know. The whole system of like raising money is just kind of cringe and like broken. And like Nancy Pelosi's worth $100 million. Fucking open up your wallet, Nancy.
Yeah, like, Nance.
I don't just fucking, and like Trump being a fucking billionaire and selling gold coins to like his.
And like trading cards. All of that stuff where it's like, this is a certified card.
He's selling like NFTs and like, yeah, Trump, like, it's just like, you're a fucking billionaire. Why are you asking your grandma and grandpa who are on their pensions to give you $100 for it's all a nightmare. But hopefully she fucking wins. Young people in Texas. Do you know about how to register in Texas, by the way?
Is it complicated?
Mm-hmm.
It's Really?
I think most other states you can register online, but with Texas, you need to literally print out a form, sign it by hand, and mail it or drop it off to a like official ballot registration
place. It always been like that, or they made it more difficult?
I don't know about the history, but I know right now, like, you, if you want to be a registered voter in Texas, you need to print it out and mail it to them in order to get registered.
But usually, like, if you get your driver's license renewed and stuff like that, that is part of the package, is getting registered. Also, I feel like maybe that's interesting you say that. I'm so curious if it's still that way. And I was a college student the first time I voted, and maybe I feel like they made college students do that. Register to vote really easy.
It wouldn't be surprised. They're all like, the Republicans are doing a good, like, trying to purge as many voter rolls as possible. If you're inactive, if you didn't vote in the last election, like, they're trying to remove people's registration. So yeah, the Texas one is kind of nuts, but the statistics are in the favor. Like, demographically, Texas should be a blue state, but just young people just don't fucking vote. Like, all those old cringe grandmas who are posting on Facebook, they're all fucking voting, and young people are just not. And you're a young person if you're watching this, statistically, so make sure you're registered, tell your friends to register, fucking vote, and just, let's just move on with Trump. Like, I'm sick of it. I got a big hot potato for you that I don't think you know. Maybe you've heard through the grapevine.
Throw it to me.
Do you know any big changes in my life that are happening? Have you heard from anyone?
Big changes that is happening to your...
I'm moving out of the house.
What?
Yeah.
Is Adam moving out too?
No, he's going to remain there, and he's going to have someone else move in.
Why are you moving out?
I think it's just time to get my own place. I love the house. I love Adam. There's no issues whatsoever. It's just like, at my age, with like the fact that I work from home, I'm like, there was just this realization I had where like I'm spending 80 to 90% of my life basically in my bedroom, because like, yeah, I sleep there. My desk is right there. That's where I'm working. Like, all the business calls, all the emails, all the editing, like, it just kind of weighs down on me a little bit. And I also just want to be able to have like my own living room to myself, my own kitchen to myself. A second bedroom that's like an office that's separate, and just more space. Just also like maybe get a little bit more furniture, a little bit more room.
Yeah.
To be able to also just have a little bit more privacy. Like, obviously I love Adam, he's my best friend, but we've lived together for 5 years now.
Yeah. And you're like, you know, in your mid 30s too. Yeah.
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 And also I've realized that I've moved basically every year. The longest I've ever lived anywhere in my life is 4 years. And I think there's just something in my body that like every 3 to 4 years, I'm like, I just feel like this. I just got to fucking move. And I've just done it every single three or four years.
Are you still staying in the same neighborhood?
No, I'm actually going to move to North Carolina. No, yeah. I found a spot. I found an apartment. It's fucking sick. It's bigger. The apartment is bigger than my house.
Really? Yes. All to your space?
Yes.
Mike.
It's going to be sick.
When is this happening?
In like 3 weeks.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. So it's going to be great. So we'll still be able to like go to the house, have pool parties. Like Adam said, whenever I want to come, Rick will still be there. Like it's going to be a little bit of a change, but my new spot also has a pool, has a hot tub, like
a community pool,
But when I went, I saw the tour, it was empty and the pool is fucking huge. It's got sunlight.
Is it two
all
stories?
Day. My apartment.
Yeah.
No, it's one floor.
Okay.
There's like three total floors in the building. So it's like kind of like a smaller complex, but it's like so nice, all new renovated, high ceilings. It's gonna be sick. I'm very excited.
Was Adam heartbroken when you told him this?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a tough conversation. Like the realization for me was like very quickly. I kind of like was at home one Saturday, just like kind of thinking about like, I feel like I need a change. And I just like 2 or 3 days, I mulled on it. I sort of looked to see if this is even viable. And I was considering moving to West Hollywood because I want to like be like, it would be great to be walking distance to like you and Patricia,
yeah,
or Sarah McKendrick. And like, it just, the budgets for a house there are not, it's too
ridiculous.
Much. If I had a roommate, it would be great. But given my, it's like right on Laurel Canyon and Riverside Drive.
This is some tea. Who knows about this?
Not very many people. Like Will Perlighter, I think I told about it.
Yeah.
I think I might have told Connor and Sarah.
Damn, they didn't tell me last night.
Yeah. Well, maybe
you might spill it tonight.
Oh, a Connors thing? Yeah. I think I've talked to them about it already, but because I also wasn't like 100% sure, but now I'm like, I've talked to Adam about it.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah, it's a big change. I'm excited to like just have my own space. I'm going to get some more furniture, like hang up my art all throughout the living room and the kitchen.
Oh, I got to help with the interiors.
I know. I want to give you some. I
want some things by me. Yeah.
I think I'm going to get an emerald green dinette set. Like chairs that are like emerald green with like gold legs. I saw it in like a photo of someone's apartment. I'll show it to you. I want to get your opinion on it. I just like the pop of color with like emerald green as the chairs. I think it's kind of interesting.
Like Herman Miller type?
Kind of, yeah.
Chairs? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I'm all for it.
And I think I need another couch, so I'm going to need your perspective.
Yes,
on
how much
kind of
money do you want to spend on a couch? What's your budget?
I'm going to cruise through Facebook Market. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I don't know.
There might be like Joe just posted that he's got a nice big couch from somewhere that he's trying to sell. So maybe
I'll go a little bit darker with the color.
Darker?
Yeah. Like just like tan, sand and darker, or like a little bit darker.
Yeah.
Sand. Don't do leather.
No, definitely not. But I'm excited. I want to throw a housewarming party so like everyone can come and kind of see it. But also, we can still do Chef for Saturdays, hashtag Chef for Saturdays. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
If there's nice. So, but you're going to be gone. I was thinking to do the final Chef for Saturday next weekend, but you're not going to be there. But
it'll be all right. It'll be knowing all right. That it's still there.
Yes.
That's okay.
It's staying in the family.
Are you a type of guy when you finally have your final moment with a place and you're leaving, do you look around a bit and give thanks to the spot, or are you pretty easy about just like walking out? You're like, all right, I'm done with this space.
I romanticize about doing that, but normally I'm like dealing with the movers, the moving truck, the U-Hauls outside.
Yeah.
I gotta get the last box out. I got like, and then I just sort of forget to have that moment. And I've moved probably 20 times in my life. I've had 20 different places that I've lived in, so I don't really have that much sentimentality to it. But I do think that first night alone, it's gonna be a little bit sad.
Mm.
But it's also like, I think it's just a good change. And I'm glad Adam's still going to hold on to it because it'll be like still in the family. But yeah, big change.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. When was the last time you've lived alone?
Last time I lived alone was
when you're in that ADU.
Yeah. I was in that ADU. I was in that
Blick Street.
Yeah. I was in that guest house on Blick Street. That was like 2016 to 2017, I believe, or 2017 to 2018, around that time, before I moved into Zane's first house that he bought.
Because that's also a thing about living alone, I do feel like is a nice,
it is nice, but like emotionally, hopefully like emotionally everything's like great in your life. It's kind of nice like having a person you can just go talk to and get your mind off something. Like
right.
you're really truly alone, kind of with your own thoughts. You have
like
TV.
If I come back from a bad date and I just want to like vent.
Yeah. That's some, and that's what's great about just being married now is like I have that person I can talk to, but being alone, it's like it's a little out of routine. So you just got to get used with kind of being alone.
I think
but,
it'll get me out of the house too, though.
More. Yeah.
Like I'll be more apt to come and have a drink, you know, on a Wednesday night because
that too.
I may not see anybody for like 3-4 days and I have no human interaction. So
100%. Are you going to be paying more or less?
It's going to be a little bit more.
Uh huh.
So if you could start posting on TikTok a little bit more, that would be great.
Of course.
But I'm excited and I'm glad I thought you were going to take this a lot more rough, but I'm glad.
No,
you're...
I mean, I'm all for people growing. So
yeah.
And knowing that Adam is still like, the
yes.
spot will be there.
Yeah.
I am kind of cool with that. I am very surprised you are doing it, but you already have something set in mind.
Just the idea of like the separation of, you know, work and home life is just not something I have right now. And I think having a second room where I can just, that's like, where I'm editing, where I'm working, where I'm taking phone calls, and then I can leave that physical space and have like a home is separated from the work area, I think it'll be mentally.
I always been thinking about that with Patricia and I, like, oh, do we buy a house or do we actually just upgrade and get like, I don't know, a more modern place? I just sometimes wish that we had better lighting in our house, like consistently. But
do you mean like sunlight windows?
Sunlight
or
windows and
light
stuff. Because I always feel like we're filming in the same areas. But I think right now we're turning our back room into kind of like this cool kind of office, workshop kind of creation space where we can utilize that lighting a little bit more.
Interesting.
But wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, that's the update from Matt and Mike.
It's an exciting update.
But yeah, I think it's like seasons are changing. We're approaching holidays, New Year's, so like it's a good time for change. And any last final thoughts you want to share with the audience?
Last final thoughts that I want to share with the audience. tell the people in your life that you love them. Reach out to those friends that you occasionally talk to. I lost a friend recently over these past few days, and it's really strange how sometimes the universe can just take somebody away very, very quickly. And it makes you wish you express gratitude to those people in your life even more. And I would just say, reach out to those friends you haven't talked to in a while. Send your love, send your support. Doesn't need to take that long, but I just wish I could go back in time and even express how much I cared about a person.
Yeah.
That's
good. And I just to echo that, I think when people hear that, they think it means like, oh, I have to start a conversation. I have to make plans. I have to expect a response. Like, it is nice, even if you don't have the bandwidth or someone else doesn't have the bandwidth to respond, just imagine you're getting a message one day from an old friend that just says, hey, I miss you. I hope you're doing well. That little amount can change someone's day, change your day. Don't expect a response. But if you have the capacity to just send out a message to someone that you haven't seen in a while, because, yeah, you never know. Like, my first roommate that I lived with in college, freshman year, passed away. Hadn't talked to him in like 2-3 years. And his last message to me was something that I didn't answer. He just said, hey, bud, how you doing? And I just got lost in the shuffle. I didn't respond.
Ugh.
And so I just have an unresponded to text from him. And now I can never respond to that text. So, yeah, just make an effort to tell the people in your life that you care about them and you love them.
Absolutely.
And we love you.
I mean it. And we love you guys. Thank you so much. If you enjoyed this episode, please like it. Please go give it a comment. Go leave us a review on all the podcast apps where we are. And take care of yourself and enjoy this lovely fall that is coming upon us.
And we'll see you next time, everyone.
Toodles.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the 4 hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those 2 facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?